This episode of the Tech Central podcast is brought to you by Pinnacle, Africa's top ICT distribution business, delivering the exceptional every time. I'm Duncan McLeod and you're listening to the Tech Central podcast. I'm in Woodmead in Johannesburg today to talk to Lindsay Duff, country manager at What3Words. Lindsay, welcome to the podcast. What3Words offers an interesting way to make navigation easier. As I understand it, any three unique words when used in combination point to a very specific place, three meters by 3 meters squares anywhere on the planet. Have I described that correctly?
Pretty much, yeah. Duncan, thanks for having me. What3Words is a digital addressing system, and it's basically the easiest way to talk about location. We've taken the whole world, we've divided it into a grid of 3 meter by 3 meter squares, and assigned every single square its own totally unique three-word address, which means that anyone can now talk about anywhere really simply. So as an example, our front entrance here in Woodmead can be found at Punk Braved Warriors. The right foot of the Statue of Liberty is Chip Twice Update. It's just dictionary words instead of really complicated place names like Modderfontein or Krugersdorp or Adderley.
How many words are in the dictionary in total in your database?
In our database, because we work off an algorithm and a word list to actually intelligently distribute all the addresses around the world, we have a word list of 40,000. So you can actually repeat the words in an address. So my favorite address is actually in Pennsylvania in the United States, and it's Party, Party, Party.
What is there?
Weirdly, we think it's a church, which is kind of wonderful. Even better.
So how many of these squares are there in total around the planet?
There are 57 trillion.
So trillion.
Trillion, that's right, yeah. Every 3 meter by 3 meter. So we're talking not only in the middle of Joburg, we're talking in rural Limpopo, we're talking in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. Literally every single 3 meters by 3 meters has an address now. So you can talk about it really, really simply. And this is really useful for not only places where street addresses aren't either in existence or aren't useful enough. Think about large swathes of South Africa, informal settlements in rural areas that don't have proper postal codes or don't have proper street addresses. It's also really useful in places that do have traditional addresses but that aren't quite fit for purpose. Think about when your Uber never comes to quite the right place. Mm-hmm. That's because Google's guessing where that spot is. It's not exactly as accurate as it could be.
All right. So I was actually on an online checkout the other day, purchasing something, and I noticed What3Words integrated into the section where I had to enter my delivery details. How many partners are you working with in South Africa? Are you integrating with more and more online retail stores for delivery purposes?
We are, yeah. We set up the South Africa office about a year ago, and we've had a very strong focus on e-commerce and logistics because we're finding the e-commerce market in South Africa is just growing seemingly exponentially every day. It's just mushrooming, which is fantastic, especially for the consumer. But we're finding that delivery partners are really struggling to find some of those addresses and to meet the demand in terms of the number of deliveries they can do in a day. So a three-word address helps them find the exact right front entrance. So to date, we have 8 e-commerce partners on board. We're speaking to a number of other really large retailers, which will be coming on board in the new year, which is really exciting. We've integrated 3 major logistics players, with also more coming in 2019. So it's a really fantastic solution for the last mile. Finding that exact front gate, the exact entrance to a new complex, as an example, a three-word address can help.
So in theory, a courier company wouldn't even need to know my address.
In theory, no. If you just found your three-word address and submitted that, essentially all our tech is doing in that split second is taking a three-word address and converting it to GPS coordinates.
Right.
We love GPS coordinates. The whole world is covered in GPS coordinates. Machine to machine, it is the easiest way to talk about location. Mm-hmm. It's when you introduce human and machine, trying to use GPS coordinates becomes really hard. Mm. It's 16 digits. Confusing one digit with another means you end up an hour north of Pretoria instead of an hour south of Pretoria. It's just really, really hard to use. And that's assuming a basic rate of literacy and numeracy as well, which a lot of people just don't have. So we figured 3 words are just a hell of a lot easier, particularly because we've also launched in 3 South African languages, isiZulu, isiXhosa, and Afrikaans.
All right. And can you take a GPS coordinate and convert it into What3Words?
You definitely can, yeah. On our map site, map.what3words.com, you can pop in a decimal format GPS coordinate and it'll show you the exact three-word address for that place.
Interesting. So many of these GPS competitors are launching now. We just carried a story on Tech Central this morning about the Chinese launching a competitor to GPS, Beidou, I think. The Europeans are launching one as well. The Russians. So there's a lot of them on route. Are you going to offer interoperability with all of them?
Definitely in China, where we've actually launched a bespoke app in China to, mm-hmm. to handle the, they do use a different system of GPS coordinates, interestingly, in China. So we've launched a bespoke map and app site, for China, mm-hmm. To handle that. Also in Putonghua, which is the sort of simplified and traditional languages mixed together. But yeah, I mean, it's essentially just the easiest way. Instead of having to use GPS coordinates, which are just very difficult, and I've certainly never said, oh, Duncan, I can't wait to see you for coffee at 16 degrees, 29 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. It's just not very practical. Yeah. It's just an easy way to use three words instead of a really long string of numbers.
Yeah. There was a South African startup a few years ago offering something like this. I think it was funded by a software development house called MIP. And I think there are probably a few companies offering this sort of solution. What do you guys do that's different from the rest of the crowd?
We turn the numbers into words. That's the defining feature. So there are a couple of address systems out there or geolocation systems that work off alphanumeric. Think N19-4RU27QY. We find that just as difficult, actually, for most people to remember. And also the potential for confusion there is actually pretty high. Did you say N for November or M for mother? That sort of thing. So using dictionary words means that we just take the confusion out completely. And we do actually have a South African patent granted. So we are pretty much the only ones. Well, we are the only ones in South Africa turning GPS coordinates into words.
How did you decide what words to use? Were they a specific length? Did you specifically exclude certain words?
We did, yeah. So every word list that we launched, we're available in 26 languages now globally. Obviously, we started in English. The word list is curated. Every single word list has human eyes go through every single word. And it takes out the more negative words in a language. We want the most positively connotated words, if that makes sense. So we want happy smile mountain, not stinky bottom smelly or whatever.
Right. No expletives either.
Exactly. No expletives, which people either love or hate, depending on who we're talking to. And we've also been culturally sensitive where we can be. So in particular cultures, with Arabic, say, we've been very careful about the words we've included there. And what we've also done with the words is actually intelligently distribute them and shuffle them. So we've put the easiest words in each language in the places that speak those languages. So the nicest and the easiest to say three-word addresses in, say, isiZulu will be in South Africa. It doesn't mean that the rest of the world isn't addressed in that. In fact, the middle of the Brazilian rainforest will still be addressed in isiZulu. The words will just be slightly longer and a bit more complicated to say based on who we think will be using Zulu in the middle of the Brazilian rainforest, as an example.
Right. Okay. So interesting, South African languages included. Which other South African languages are part of what three words?
So, I mean, including, besides English, it's Afrikaans, isiZulu, and isiXhosa. I'm hoping to get two more on the roadmap to kind of cover the more northern geographies of South Africa, maybe Sepedi or Setswana. But we have a number of other languages launching globally as well. Obviously, we're not just a South African business. We are headquartered out of London. And so we have a lot of Indian subcontinental languages launching, a lot of East Asian languages. And obviously, the traditional kind of dominant languages worldwide are also still there. So Portuguese, Spanish, French, German, Russian, all of those. Yes. Even some more exotic ones like Mongolian.
What about Klingon?
We should explore that, actually. I think my languages team would love that. That would be a very exciting thing for them to do.
So party.party.party, for example, would that location be the word for party in Russian, for example, or would it be a completely different name?
Yeah, no, so we don't translate the squares. And that's because of putting the easiest to say addresses in each language in the places that speak them. So as an example, table, apple, spoon in English won't be tafel, apple, leopel in Afrikaans. And that's because the easier Afrikaans addresses will be in South Africa, and the easier English addresses will be in more urban areas, likely in English-speaking countries, either the UK or wherever that sort of is. And it means, again, so every square essentially has, we have 26 languages now, so it'll have 26 different addresses. We don't translate those addresses.
Right, okay. And I presume you can't have words that are spelled exactly the same in two different languages, for example, party and partij.
Exactly, yes. So we've removed those from the Afrikaans list. Yeah, exactly. So we make it more. We've also removed homophones, so words that are spelled differently but sound the same as well, because we're very useful for voice input. If you think about the number of times you've tried to say into your GPS, take me to Jan Smuts Avenue, and it just doesn't understand what you're talking about, that can be remedied by saying instead, table, chair, spoon.
Interesting. And have you had any, out of interest, have you had any controversy around any of the three-letter words that you've put together that you had to remove?
Look, I mean, people will always, things like the word bottom is in there, if that you find that particularly offensive, some people might. But no, we've taken out generally everything that we could do in terms of, you know, anything too controversial. As we said, any swear words or dirty words have been taken out.
I suppose you'd always end up with, when there's 57 trillion data points, you're going to end up with a combination of words which might...
There might be some colourful ones in there. Yeah. I'm not going to avoid that, yeah. We've never had an explicit controversy. Yeah. The really useful thing is that if you do find a three-word address for a particular square that might be a little offensive to you for whatever reason, even if it contains the word broccoli and you happen to hate broccoli, the great thing is the square right next to it will be completely different. Yeah. And we've done that intentionally so that we're not like traditional addressing systems.
Yes.
We want you to put, when you put in table, chair, spoon, we want you to know that that's going to a particular place. Mm-hmm. There might be a table, chair, spoons somewhere else in the world,
yeah,
but we've put that in Australia, or we've put it in the United States. We've put it so far away that it's like inbuilt error detection.
Yeah. Now, you've already hinted at this, but I'd imagine this application would have huge application in the developing world where there simply aren't street addresses. How do you see it being applied in South Africa, particularly outside the cities?
I think there's enormous potential. And it's a large part of the reason why South Africa is a strategic market for us. And it's why we have a dedicated team in South Africa. The legacy of apartheid spatial planning means that you have vast swathes of the country that simply don't have traditional street addresses.
Yeah.
And it's just a massive barrier, not only to economic opportunity, but also to basic services. How do you call an ambulance to your house if your wife has gone into labor, if your dad's had a stroke, if you can't actually talk about where you are? That makes it really, really difficult. How do you open a bank account without a proper address? Fika and Rika, you know, most of us have a terrible time of Fika and Rika with a traditional street address. Without one, it becomes almost impossible. How do you register a birth? How do you register on the electoral roll? How do you actually participate in your own democracy, your hard-won democracy, without a traditional street address? So we think there's enormous potential, and we're already working with a number of partners, particularly in more remote areas of the country, to provide things like ambulances can suddenly find people in informal settlements. I know that we're used in medical trials, actually, in more remote areas as well, HIV and TB medical trials, because people are living in kind of far-flung areas, and now clinical workers have a way of finding them every single time and going back to that exact spot. So we think there's enormous potential, even down to city governments using us to address every single electricity pole. You know, what happens when somebody's in an informal settlement and the electricity pole, the light goes out, and they call the city and say, please come and fix it, and the city says, great, where are you? And they have no way of saying where they are. It's, oh, opposite the tuck shop next to the red door, you know. It's really not a useful way. So we think there's enormous potential, particularly with the South African local languages, to really break into rural areas and provide a solution that is effectively an instant addressing solution, very much plug and play.
Does 3 meters by 3 meters provide sufficient granularity for some of those applications, particularly in a government context?
I would suspect so, yes. We chose 3x3 quite specifically. We found anything larger became a little meaningless in the sense that it was too large and you couldn't differentiate between front doors and driveways and that sort of thing. Equally, something too small is also too granular to be meaningful. So we like the fact that 3x3 will generally get you to an exact point, but also, you know, where you need to go.
Right.
And a lot of it becomes intuitive.
Yeah. Now, you spoke about people not having addresses and possible uses for local government, national government, that sort of thing. Have you had discussions with government? Have they, is there a possibility? I'd imagine that integrating this into, you know, registering for elections or spatial planning and all that sort of thing would probably require some buy-in, maybe even legislative amendments. Is that sort of discussions that you've had with government?
Yeah, those discussions are ongoing, so I can't go too much into them because they're pretty sensitive at the moment. But definitely, the ideal would have a three-word address to be recognized as a legal address in South Africa. So we would love to start seeing three-word addresses in addition to a traditional street address. Think of it like a hyper-accurate postcode, but where someone just doesn't have a traditional street address, they can use a three-word address, particularly in a more remote area, rural area, informal settlement. We'd love to see it on, you know, billing invoices and used for the IEC with the electoral issues that we faced with the Clockware case very recently. There's so many applications. So, yeah, those conversations with a number of different government departments have been ongoing, and we will hopefully get to the stage where it can be introduced as a legal address in South Africa.
I believe one of the advantages of the system is you don't need an internet connection to find something. Tell me about that.
Yes. Basically, if you download the app, which is available on Android or iOS, essentially all of that algorithm and that word list is contained within the app. Mm-hmm. So if you've downloaded the app and I can say, Duncan, please meet me at Punk Braved Warriors, even if you've run out of data or you're in the middle of nowhere and don't have a data connection, you can type in Punk Braved Warriors and it'll show you exactly on the map where you need to go. Mm-hmm. You can navigate there from the app as well using whatever navigation is already on your phone. If you prefer Apple Maps, Google Maps, Waze, whatever it is, mm-hmm. you can even call an Uber through our app to that particular three-word address.
Does that work in South Africa as well?
It does, yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah, give it a whirl. So actually, we'll set it up after you leave. You can call an Uber, get dropped off. I mean, everybody thinks with ride hailing, it's very interesting. Everybody goes, yeah, I just drop a pin to get the guy to come to me. And you go, cool, but what about destination? Mm-hmm. You can't drop a pin for destination. And that's where a three-word address is supremely, supremely interesting and compelling, actually, because you could give me the exact three-word address of the place in the middle of a field, if need be, where I need to drop the parcel with you, and I can get exactly to that spot. So
could I go into the Uber app and type in a three-word address and have it take me there?
Not yet. That's not yet. Hopefully on the roadmap. But no, through ours, we've integrated their API into our app for the meantime. We have integrated with two major competitors to Uber in other parts of the world, mm-hmm. Cabify, which is largely in Latin America and Spain, and also Genie in Saudi Arabia, and other ride-hailing conversations also happening at a global level.
Okay. So I presume this is mainly being used at the moment for courier services.
In South Africa, very much, yeah. But we also have really interesting use cases in travel and tourism.
Well, tell us about some of them.
We've in the 2019 guide of the Platters Guide, you know, the definitive wine guide to South African wine farms, mm-hmm. Both in the printed version that's coming out next week, as well as the online digital version, which is live as we speak, you will find a three-word address for every visitable wine farm in South Africa. Wine farms are amazing places to go, especially for tourists, but if they don't know the particular road that wine farm is on, wine farms are notorious for having really terrible addresses, and you pop it into Google and it's not terribly accurate. In fact, it's deeply inaccurate. We've worked with Platters to find the three-word address for all of those wine farms where you can visit and have a glass of gorgeous South African wine during the holidays, and now you can use a three-word address to get there. So you can download the app, pop in the three-word address that you see in Platters, and navigate straight to the front door. We're also seeing restaurants and hotels and other businesses just adopt us as a way of being hyper-accurate when people need to contact them and visit their offices. So they're integrating it into email signatures and putting it on business cards. We were in the Eat Out 2018, which was the top 500 restaurants in South Africa, also had a three-word address next to them, and we're working with different tourism bodies around the country as well to just make traveling a lot easier for tourists. Mm-hmm. I think especially in a context where, particularly for single travelers and solo travelers, safety is very much an issue. Not having the right address can actually be a bit of a security risk. So having a three-word address, because and you know exactly where you're going to particular hotel XYZ, means that you know you're going to get there first time without any hassle.
So what's the revenue model?
The revenue model is, we work with a number of governments around the world and large businesses that derive efficiencies from using the technology.
Yeah.
So What3Words will always be free for individuals to use, a bit like Google Maps. You can always just download and use Google Maps as an individual, and you're never going to pay for it. The minute a business starts deriving a strong efficiency from using three-word addresses instead of traditional addressing data, we charge per API call volume. So they will call our API, and they will send us a three-word address. We will send back a GPS coordinate, and then we charge a micro amount per API call, essentially. Okay. We also work with governments, and we ensure that governments license the technology on an annual basis. So we just basically hand over our IP to make sure that it's on their servers, largely for security reasons, because governments obviously like to have a lot of control. And we're working with two governments in Africa, actually Djibouti and Cote d'Ivoire, to use three-word addresses as an addressing standard in those countries.
Okay. So tell me a bit more about the company. I believe the founders, or one of the founders, originally came up with the idea after struggling to get equipment and bands to event locations on time due to inadequate addressing while working as a concert organizer. Started in London, right?
That's it, yeah. And that person you refer to is our current CEO. His name is Chris Sheldrick. Mm-hmm. And he was he is the founder of both the concept and the business more broadly. So yeah, he was actually in the music business for a number of years and found that he would have to gather together musicians and get all, you know, instruments and everything delivered to usually a very remote venue. Think about festivals like Glastonbury. Think about very fancy weddings in the middle of the Italian countryside. And he found that musicians could never find the right place ways. Mm-hmm. He tried to use GPS coordinates and found that that was even more of a disaster. And he actually had a band sound check the wrong wedding once because of a poor address. And so he thought there must be a better way. So he sat down with our head of R&D, and they figured out a way to turn GPS coordinates into words. And What Three Words was born.
Mm-hmm. And it attracted initially about $500,000 in seed funding and millions more dollars in further rounds. I see that Mercedes-Benz is an investor, Aramex, which is a global logistics firm, is an investor, Intel Capital. And I see that Mercedes-Benz is, in fact, integrating into its MBUX in-car entertainment system. How does that work exactly?
That's right, yeah. So MBUX is the brand new infotainment system in actually the new A-Class in South Africa and many more models coming in 2019. It means that you can voice navigate to a three-word address. So you can hop into your Mercedes and say, "Hi, Mercedes, navigate to What Three Words, table, chair, spoon," and it'll take you to that exact spot in the world, which is pretty cool. So it's live for the current crop of the new A-Classes that has come out, as if I needed another reason to want a Mercedes-Benz. And there'll be a number of different models coming in 2019 as well, globally as well as in South Africa. Right. So, and we're hoping to get a number of other car brands as well on board. We think voice is the future of interfacing with machines, and this means that you essentially have a way of talking about an address and a super precise location very, very simply to a machine that will understand dictionary words.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk to the app as well?
Yes, yeah, you should be able to. The Mercedes Me app, I think, is how the link happens with cars.
And the What Three Words app for...
Oh, yes, yes, sorry, yeah. So in our app, yeah, if you search in the search bar, you'll see a little microphone, as the most of the UX happens, and you can click that and say table, chair, spoon, or whatever it is, and that'll pick up as well. We also have OCR that'll be launched in the next 2 to 3 months or so in the app, and OCR is optical character recognition.
Yeah.
So a bit like when you scan a QR code, if you're using SnapScan or similar, you'll be able to scan a typed three-word address, and it'll instantly export to whatever you choose, so whether that's Google Maps or Uber or Waze. That sort of thing. So it means you'll be able to interact with it both in terms in photo terms and also voice terms.
Pretty cool. I look forward to trying out the app some more. Lindsay Duff is South African Country Manager at What Three Words. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks so much, Duncan.